So before we jump right in and just totally and fully engage in this, we're not just going to, you know, announce on that Wednesday before, get ready Friday, full 24-hour fast, nothing. There are some things that we want to do leading up to the fast, some ways in which you can maybe ease back on what you've been eating, maybe cut back to one meal a day to condition yourself, get yourself ready. For that dedication period, it is a period of dedication. Once again, not trying to prove anything to anybody. It is dedication. It is getting closer to God, as we constantly talk about with fasting. It is another way to, and it's the way, the missing link, I think, to really stepping into the Spirit in a powerful way. So engaging in this as a lifestyle is something that I believe is going to be life changing for us from a spiritual perspective and from a health perspective. So let's look at that. April the 2nd, 8 a.m. to Saturday, April the 3rd, 8 a.m. So that's what we do. So you're going to be sleeping part of that time anyway. So that's part of fasting. We already have this built into our vocabulary, as I even told people, is when you sleep and you get up, you people say they eat breakfast, or it's just breakfast is what? It's breaking fast, breaking your fast. That's what we talk about it all the time, but we never really look at it in that way. So when you're sleeping, you're breaking your fast when you get up and you eat something. Doesn't mean the meal, you know, pancakes and all that. It means that you could, whatever you're eating, you're breaking the fast. That's your breakfast, breaking the fast, whatever that is. We just categorized it as certain food items, now sausage and, you know, grits and rice or whatever, pancakes. And you say that's breakfast food. It's food, but anything that you eat breaks your fast. So anyway, any thoughts or comments about that thus far? You're going to get more information. Once again, I'll be rolling out more information. But right now, any thoughts, questions, or comments about April the 2nd? Okay. Well, Deacon, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I just think April 2nd is a great day to get it started, to give us time to get our bodies conditioned and ready. As you had suggested, by reducing meals before that date. So, I agree.
Okay. All right. Good. Excellent. I'm excited about it. Just about calling a solemn assembly, a corporate fast, a day of restraint and humility. Humility and restraint. There's also a couple of other words that we want that I pulled out of that Joel chapter 2 passage, and that is restoration, and I believe it's renewal. They're restoration, restoring our relationship back to God. So restoration, renewal, humility, and restraint. So those four things, four pillars are what we're going to be focusing on. Accomplishing as we focus on the four pillars of fasting, worship, the word, and prayer. So once again, you'll be getting some information about this, and we'll move forward. So tonight, we want to go into the lesson for tonight, which some of this is review and some of it is not. But tonight I want to talk about the mental attitude of fasting, the mental attitude of fasting. We have to have a certain attitude. You got to walk into a fast with an attitude and a purpose. You kiss, you know, well, I'm just not going to eat today. You know, what's the reason that you're not going to eat? What, there has to be a purpose. So whatever that purpose is, you need to define it. And tonight we're going to talk about the spiritual purposes that we can have to fasting. Purposes that God gives us, and purposes that we need to have and when we get into and move into a fast. And so there is what we know to be a mental attitude that we have to have, which means that the first thing is we must do it in faith. Whenever you enter into a fast, you must do it in faith. Faith is the key concept. There's really no other way to really enter into a fast than by starting out with faith. You got to believe that the fast is going to accomplish something. You have to believe that the fast is going to bring you closer to God. You have to believe that the fast is going to renew your spirit. You have to believe that whatever you're fasting for and whoever you're fasting for, there may be some people who are part of our ministry who during that time period may not be able to fast for themselves. And so fasting for them, as we know, as we found in the book of Esther, and we may go and hit there tonight as well, just to reiterate that thought. Sometimes we fast for people. We fast for somebody to be closer to God than what they are. So there has to be a purpose involved in fasting. So you start off with faith. Why? Because when Jesus talks about fasting in Matthew chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, just write that down. He talks about when you fast. So fasting is not something that's optional. Fasting is not something that is something that we engage in every now and then, just like prayer. It's not an option. He uses and he talks about in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about prayer. Then he talks about fasting. When you pray, he says, do this. Then he gets into, as we said before a few weeks back, when you fast, do it this way. So praying and fasting, and I call them all the time, the dynamic duo. Prayer and fasting. Those two things help us to really accomplish some things that God wants us to accomplish that I believe we've missed out on. So let's look at something here. Let's look at Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And I need someone when you get there to read that, whatever version you have, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Once again, we're talking about entering into a fast with faith. Faith has to be the cornerstone of every fast, and fasting even builds up faith. So when you start off in faith and you get fasting, you start off with in faith. Let me say it right. Start off in faith and you enter into a fast with faith. It's going to build your faith up more so that now you have more faith than what you started with. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if someone has that, if you can read that.
No one can please God without faith. But whoever comes to God must have faith that God exists and reward those who seek him.
Okay.
That's good news, Bible.
Good news. Read that one more time, because I like the way that that's worded. Read it one more time.
No please. One can please God without faith. For whoever comes to God must have faith that God exists and reward those who seek him.
Okay. So he says anyone that comes to God must have faith and believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Okay. So if you're going to come to God, and fasting is saying, I want to get closer to God. Mm-hmm. God said, if you're going to come, you can't just come doubting now. If you're going to really come, if you're going to really engage in fasting, you're going to really do this. Right. You got to believe that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. That's what God says to us. So you got to believe I'm a rewarder. So when I engage in fasting, as I said, you know, on Sunday, I believe I said it on Sunday. I said it in the past. I said it before. If you're going to engage in fasting, you got to believe that it's not just to not eat. Okay. It's not the purpose of fasting, just not to eat. It's I got to believe, first of all, that two things, that he is, this is what he read, that he is, okay? I got to believe, first of all, that he exists, that he is the reason why. God is the reason why I'm doing it, okay? So I have faith enough to believe that he is. And then I got to add on to that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I believe that he is, and I believe that he is a rewarder. So if I'm going to seek God, if I'm going to get engaged into a fast, I got to believe a reward is coming. Okay? It may not come right away, but I got to keep on believing. As we read through the word of God, there's some people that had to wait a little bit, but didn't stop them from fasting. I think it was Nehemiah. He had to wait several months before he saw what God had was going to reward him with. But that didn't stop him from fasting. He engaged in fasting because he knew that God was rewarder. Okay. So, and there was someone else who said, who reminded God of his promises. He reminded, I think it was Nehemiah too. He reminded God, it was Nehemiah, yes, he reminded God of his promises to them. So you got to believe, okay? So do not engage in spiritual fasting if you're not going to walk in it in faith. If you're doubting April 2nd, if you're doubting on April 2nd, I don't know what this is going to do. I don't know. Don't do it. Don't do it. Everybody that is engages in some form of fasting with us on April 2nd for 24 hours has to believe that there's a purpose for doing it. Okay? So, in Isaiah chapter 58, one of our favorite passages, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8, 9, 11, and 12. If someone can read verses 8, 9, 11, and 12, and out of this, we're going to pull out 10 promises that come from fasting. Okay? 8, verses 8 and 9, and then verses 11 and 12 in Isaiah 58.
Isaiah 58, this is NIV.
Okay.
8 and 9, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. That's 8 and 9, and then you said
11 and 12.
11 mm-hmm. and 12. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repair of broken walls, restore of streets with dwellings.
All right. So I was listening and I was watching. I was looking at my 10 things here, and I was just seeing it. So here are the 10 things. Okay. 10 things that are promises of God when you fast. 10 things. Number one, light. Okay. She read about light. Okay. I'm going to go read. So I'm going to call these 10 out, but I want you to read the corresponding scripture in verses 8 and 9 when I talk about these first five. Okay.
Okay.
So read that where it says light.
Then your light will break forth like the dawn.
Okay, so that's the first promise. Okay, so God says your light will break forth like the dawn. Okay, then it says your healing is going to spring forth. So health. So fasting brings health. It brings healing. It brings health. What does that scripture say?
And your healing will quickly appear.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so your healing will quickly appear. Then it talks about the third thing, righteousness. What does it say about righteousness?
Then your righteousness will go before you.
Uh-huh. And then the fourth thing is glory. And what does it say about the glory of the Lord?
And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard.
Okay. And then the fifth thing is answered prayer, because say he's going, when we call, he's going to hear, right? What does it say?
Then you will call and the Lord will answer.
See, so those five things, those are the first five. Light, your light will break forth. Your healing will spring forth quickly. Righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord. And then answered prayer. Okay. All those are promises that come forth from fasting the right way. Okay. Now let's go jump over to verses 11 and 12. So I'm going to read. So those are the first five. Number six is this. Number six is continual guidance. What does it say about the Lord? What he's going to do?
The Lord will guide you always.
Guide you always, right? So when you engage in prayer, it's going to be continual guidance. Sister Roz, you're working with me good tonight. I love this. So continual guidance, okay? And then talks about number seven, satisfaction. What does it say?
He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land.
Ooh, so ain't nothing growing. The land is barren. But the word of God says he will satisfy your needs in a land that ain't growing and ain't producing nothing. He's going to supernaturally satisfy your needs. Okay? Satisfy your needs. Then, I like this next one. There's going to be a refreshing about you. A refreshing. Go ahead and read what that says, Sister Roz.
He will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden.
Like
a spring whose waters never fail.
Ah, and you know the springs, those refreshing waters. Your frame is going to be renewed. What does it say about the frame? You're going to have a...
And will strengthen your frame.
Strengthen your frame. So this is talking about your body, okay? So fasting, see, we think fasting weakens the body. It actually strengthens the body. The Lord is going to promise that he's going to strengthen us. So you're going to be refreshed. You're going to be renewed. Sometimes we need that refreshing and that renewal. And then we have to work. But it then says that our work is going to be blessed. We're going to be building stuff. What does it say?
Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up age-old foundations.
Wow. Okay, and then what? Go on.
You will be called repair of broken walls, restore of streets with dwellings.
Okay, so your work is going to be blessed. You're going to be able to build stuff. That's number nine. Your work is going to be blessed. So after refreshing was number eight. Number nine, work, that's going to be blessed. Number 10, God promises restoration. Okay, restoration. Restores and repairs of the breach. Restoration. He's going to restore something. First of all, he's going to restore the relationship with you. Then he's going to have you to restore some broken things in your life. Okay, he's going to redeem the time. He's going to restore some things. This is what fasting does. These are promises found in the Word of God connected to and directly related to fasting. Okay, so I'm going to name them once again. Go 1 through 10. Light, number 1. 2, not any particular order, but that's the way that they're listed in Scripture. Light, number 1. 2, health and healing. 3, your righteousness. Okay, that's by the blood of Jesus, by the blessing, the mercy of God. Your righteousness is going to be seen. Number 4, glory, the glory of the Lord should be your rear guard. Number 5, answered prayer. Okay, number 6, continual guidance. He's going to guide you always, as she said in NIV, as she read. Number 7, satisfaction in a scorched land. You're going to satisfy you. Number 8, refreshing. You're going to be renewed. You're going to have that refreshed spirit and soul. Number 9, your work is going to be blessed. Okay, you're going to be building stuff. This is for my entrepreneurs here. You're going to be building some stuff. Your work is going to be blessed. And then number 10, restoration. Ah, there's some stuff that has to be restored. I like it when, you know, some stuff don't need to be restored, okay? But then there are some things where when you can look at that, the way, like antiques, if you ever had an antique artifact and you were able to restore it to its original condition, it becomes more valuable in its restored state than it was in its original state. Y'all missed that. Some of y'all missed that. Some of y'all need to be shouting right now. You become more valuable in your restored state than you were in your original state. That means that if you have a fall in your life, if you tumble, if you fall, if something happens, you sin, whatever the case may be, and God restores you, you become more valuable to God in your restored state than you were in your original state. My goodness. I'm going to give myself an offering. All right. Praise be to God. All right. So here we go.
Amen, Pastor. I'm real bad.
All right, all right. That's all I need to know. You can come off mute and shout if you need to, but I'm just letting you know that this is what God is saying to us. This is why I'm excited about fasting. This is what I'm excited about this stuff. All right.
So, Pastor, just let me say this.
Yes.
My restored need is better than my regular need.
Amen. Come on now. Come on
Restoration.
Now. restoration. Right. The restored knee is better than the original was. My right. goodness. All right. That's how God works. That's how he works, y'all. Thank you for that example. That's how God works. So we must walk into this thing with faith, believing in the promises of God. Believing in the promises of God. I just want to make sure nobody else stops. Okay. So believing in the promises. Now, number two is this. Not only must we have faith. I mean, I'm saying number two overall. Okay. Number one was having faith, and those 10 things fall up under number one. Having faith, Hebrews 11:6 falls under number one. Matthew 6:17-18. When you fast, you must fast. It's a mandate from God. All that falls up under number one. You got to have faith and believe that it's going to do something. Right. But the second thing, overall thing, is this. We must have a positive attitude about our bodies when it comes to fasting. We must have a positive attitude about our bodies when it comes to fasting. What I mean by that? You know, David talks about, I believe it's in Psalm 139, about being beautifully and wonderfully made. Let me just verify that because we're recording this. I want to make sure I get the exact scripture because this was not in my notes, but it was something that just popped in my spirit. So there's a reason for it. So Psalm 139. It says, so he says in verse 13, he says, and this is the Amplified, says, you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth. He's talking about being just wonderfully born. Wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. Notice that he says he calls himself basically a work of God. And he says how wonderful are the works of God. Okay. Now I need you to understand that. He says here, for my frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and I'm reading verse 16 now, Psalm 139. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. How precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. And then he goes on and begins to talk about just how God loves him. So listen, I want you to understand that. And this is for everybody that doesn't like you. Okay. You don't like the way that you were made. I want you to understand something, that even those with what we call deformities or handicaps and things of that nature, You're beautiful. Why? Because you were made by God. There's a gentleman who, what's his name? I can't think of his name, but he's just a torso. He's a motivational speaker. No arms, no legs. He's basically a torso. He has a family. He speaks about, he loves the Lord. He's a Russian. His name is Russian. He talks about the wonder of God. Some of us have all of our limbs and we are able to do things with our bodies. He's a torso. Okay. And he praises God and he loves God. And he speaks to people and he talks to them and lets them know that he is not using how he was made as a handicap or something that's going to hold him back. But he sees himself as beautiful. This is what I want us to get out of this tonight. I didn't mean to go there tonight, but the Spirit did. Why am I saying this? Let's go here to this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Praise God for what he's doing. I'm going to ask someone to start reading. I was going to say start at verse 12, but I want us to get to the point. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to ask that whoever's going to read, that you would just read verses 17 through 20. First Corinthians 6, verses 17 through 20.
First Corinthians 6, 17 through 20, NIV. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Wait a minute. Chapter 6, 17 through what?
20.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Through the end.
19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Okay. So think about this. It says your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. All right. Honor God with your bodies. Okay. Sometimes what we do is we speak to our flesh. Our body. Now sometimes we're here's what we're doing. There's a difference between your old nature and your body. Okay, there's a difference between those two. Your old nature is how you use your body to act outside of the will of God. So when you do that, that's your old nature creeping up. That's your old nature presenting itself. When you engage in activities that are outside of the will of God, that's your old nature. Okay. But your body is a tool. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but it is a tool of the Holy Spirit because God will use our bodies for His purpose. Bodies are important to God. That's why he came in the form of a body. To use the body to purposefully save us. That's why we are called the body of Christ. So bodies are important. Old nature is different from the body. Honor God with your body. Okay. You can honor God with your body. But it doesn't mean that your body is a bad thing. Because it says present your body as a living sacrifice. The body is a very important aspect of who we are. The enemy wants your body. That's how valuable your body is. The enemy wants your body. Because the enemy cannot carry out his purpose in the earth without a body. God wants to carry out his purpose in the earth, but his law says that it has to come through a body. That's why Jesus Christ was born of a woman, as a body, a human being, God in bodily form, because God gave power and strength to an embodied person who has his spirit. Okay, so we understand it. So bodies are so that's why, you know, taking care of our bodies is saying I'm taking care of the tool that God has given me to operate in this earth. And I use my body for his glory and his honor. So bodies are important, right? Let's look at Romans chapter 6, another scripture here about that. So this is what we're saying. With fasting, we must have a positive attitude towards our bodies, okay? So we must look at our bodies in a positive way, and knowing that our bodies, abstaining from food, is conditioning not only our spirit, but preparing our bodies for the work that God has in front of us to do. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. You can write it down. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. If someone can read that. I know Roz has been kind of our resident reader tonight, so she can continue if she wants to.
I got it.
But okay, all right. Oh, Sister D said, yeah, now, all right, now that's that Detroit Coco connection. Let's go.
I'm sorry, I was Romans chapter 6.
Yes, verses 12 and 13.
Okay. And I have the amplified version.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let not sin, therefore, rule as king in your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies, to make you yield to its craving and be subject to its lust and evil passions. Do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members and faculties to sin as instruments, tools of wickedness, but offer and yield yourselves to God as though you have been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness.
So think about this. He's saying, don't let the enemy use your body. Let God use your body. That's really everything that she read right there. I just summed it up. That's the cliff notes. Don't let the enemy use your body. Because it's God's to use. He wants to use your body as his instrument, not as the enemy's instrument. See, both God and the enemy are seeing how we're going to present our bodies. The body is a very valuable thing in the earth with God's spirit in it. He says, let your body be used by God as an instrument or a tool for him and not for the enemy. Okay. So if I don't know about you, but if I have a tool, and I don't know if it, you know, I know that we have some sisters on the line, but for us brothers, when we use tools, there's nothing worse than a broken tool. Okay. A hammer that won't stick, the head that won't stick on the handle part of the hammer. That ain't a good hammer to use. Okay. You're not going to get much done with a broken tool. All right. So you need a tool that's in place, in shape, set up right. This is what God is saying. Now, does God want us to be healthy? Yes, he wants us to be healthy. Come on. Y'all know that, right? So we must do those things to maintain the body. Why is it important for us to be healthy? Because he wants to use us as a tool. He wants to use our bodies. So we are not our own, as it says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 version, which Roz read. You've been bought with a price. This body belongs to God. And I don't know about you, but when you borrow somebody's car, you tend to try to take care of it because you know it's not your own. Same thing with our bodies. This is God's creation, right? Beautifully, wonderfully made, knit in our mother's womb. God knew us and he formed us and fashioned us in secret. And the beauty of our nature is what he's given us. This body is all we have. This is the tool that we have to carry forth the gospel, to help people, to make a difference in this life. This is what we have to use. So we have to have it in the condition to be able to use. Okay. Now, does it mean that the body's going to be in excellent shape all the time? No. Does it mean that we're not going to ever get sick? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that as long as we have the opportunity to have our bodies in the best condition possible, for what purpose? To be used by God and to be utilized by God. Okay, so Sister Deidre read, it's a choice. Who are you going to let use your body? Okay, that's really what it comes down to. All right. Then I'm going to I'm going to walk you through a few things here, then we'll be done tonight. Any questions or thoughts or comments before I move on any further, though? I want to pause right there and just see if there's anybody that wants to share anything concerning what I just said. If not, we can move on. Okay. All right. Let's move on. So number three overall, number one was having the right mental attitude. That's faith, having faith. Number two, having a positive attitude towards our bodies, understanding that fasting will help us to be in a better position. That's why I want to get some physicians in here too as well to talk with us about the positiveness of fasting on our bodies. Because our bodies, when they're in the best condition possible, that's when we can be used by God. Not saying that God can't use somebody else whose body is not in the greatest of shape. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that we have an opportunity to treat this temple as a sacred space for God to operate in. The third overall thing is this. We must choose the right objectives when we fast. Choose the right objectives when we fast. What does that mean? We're going to go through there's seven things, seven objectives that we need to have when we fast. Okay. They're different from the promises that I talked about, the 10 promises. These are seven objectives that we need to have when we fast. Number one, not in any order of importance, but all of them are important. Number one, the first objective is to humble ourselves. I talk about this a lot when we talk about fasting. Y'all heard me talk about this over the past month and a half or so. The right to humble ourselves. Okay. That's the first thing. The scripture that goes along with that is Psalm 35:13. We humbled our souls with fasting. Psalm 35:13. You don't have to turn there. Just write it down. Psalm 35:13. Also along this particular passage, we see in Luke chapter 14 and 11, and I will turn there. Luke chapter 14, verse 11. I'll read that. This particular passage, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke 14, verse 11, goes along with this first point about humble ourselves. Why is this a key objective? It's because it says, I'm in 11:14 instead of 14:11. All right. Luke chapter 14, verse 11. It says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, ranked below others who are honored or rewarded. And he who humbles himself, keeps a modest opinion of himself, and behaves accordingly will be exalted or elevated in rank. So whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The reason why we want to walk into a fast and have the objective of humbling ourselves is because exaltation comes from the Lord. But it starts with humility. If you're not humble, you're not going to be exalted. You're going to be knocked down. So humility is everything. And we know that fasting is equated to creating humility in the Word of God. So first objective is to humble ourselves. The second objective is to draw closer to God. That's the second objective in fasting. This is going to help you as you meditate and as you prepare for this fast on April the 2nd. You're going to be well equipped for this. To draw near to God, to come closer to Him. Okay, why is this important? Why does that need to be my objective? James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. Let me read that. James chapter 4, verse 8. It says this: come close to God, and He will come close to you. Okay? I'm just going to stop there. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw nigh unto you, says in another version. Okay, King James, I believe that is how I first learned that scripture. Come close to God, He will come close to you. That means that, okay, God, fasting, okay, my objective is to come close to you. Why? Because I want you to draw close to me. So fasting serves as a magnet that draws you closer to God and draws God closer to you. So you see this beautiful relationship of this collision course that fasting makes that brings you and God close together. Okay. So that's got to be my objective. When I'm fasting, why am I fasting? Humble myself. Number two is to draw close to God. What's number three? I'm about to tell you. Number three is this. It's found in Ezra 8, verse 21. We read about this Sunday. 8:21. Chapter 8, verse 21. The third objective for fasting is to find God's will and His way for your life. To find or discover God's will and way for your life. I like the word discover better. To discover God's will and God's way for your life. That's the third thing. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, he proclaimed a fast. Why? To get guidance on the way in which the people would need to go to have safe passage back home. So to discover God's will and God's way for your life. Okay, this is some good teaching tonight. Number four is this. We found this in Isaiah 58, verse 8. There's a healing objective that we must find. One of the objectives for fasting is for healing, for physical healing as well as spiritual healing. We believe that fasting brings components of healing to our bodies. Okay, so that's the fourth objective found in Isaiah 58 and 8. Okay, your healing is going to spring forth. It's going to come. Healing. God talks about healing the land in 1 Corinthians 7:14, right? 2 Corinthians 7:14. I mean, Chronicles. Chronicles, not Corinthians. Lord have mercy. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Get the scripture right, Pastor, and we'll be all right tonight. All right. 2 Chronicles 7:14 talks about healing the land. Heal associated with fasting. Humble and pray. Fast and pray. So healing is the fourth objective. The fifth objective I want to talk about tonight is deliverance from evil spirits. That has to be an objective for fasting. That's an objective. So when you enter to fasting, this is another reason to fast. I need to be delivered from some evil spirits. How does that happen? Matthew 17:21. Matthew 17, 21. Remember, we talked about this. If you were with us, we talked about the fact that some spirits don't go out by what? But by prayer and fasting. But what was Jesus saying? That prayer and fasting builds up your belief so that you can cast out those spirits. Okay? Prayer and fasting builds up your belief so you can cast out those spirits. So when you fast, you're building up your capacity to believe that you can be delivered from any evil spirit that has invaded your life or another person's life. That has to be, that's an objective for fasting. You know how when you go to a class, they give you the objectives. Okay, these are the objectives, things that you're going to focus on, things that we're going to go through, things that you're going to learn. These are the objectives of fasting. Okay, so deliverance from evil spirits is possible. Okay, then number six, the sixth objective is this, is the need for God's intervention. The need for God's intervention. We fast because we need God's intervention in our lives. That's another objective, not the only objective, but it's another objective. What do I mean by this? Second Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat. We preached about this before on Sunday too, or last Wednesday, whenever in the past. We talked about this together. That Jehoshaphat called for a fast because the enemies were coming. Okay, the enemies were coming to slaughter, to kill, to take out the people of God. So King Jehoshaphat, he called for a fast, and he called for everybody to fast. The word of the Lord came, and battle's not yours, it's the Lord. All that comes from fasting, starting to fast. Why? Because they needed God's intervention. God, we can't do this without you. God, we can't defeat this enemy without you. God, I can't get this promotion without you. God, I can't get my family back together without you. God, I can't get my mind together without you. I need your intervention. God says fast. Okay? That's number six. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says scripture associated with that. Number seven is what I mentioned earlier. The seventh objective, and this list does by no means exhaust. It doesn't exhaust the list of objectives for fasting, but I chose these seven. The seventh one is to intercede and fast on behalf of someone else who was in need. To intercede and fast on behalf of someone else who is in need. In essence, to make it a short phrase for this, fasting for someone else is an objective. Fasting for someone else. Okay, fasting for someone else. Esther talked about this in Esther chapter 4, verse 6. Esther chapter 4, verse 6. I'll read that. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 6. I'm sorry, that's not the right script. 4:16, not 4, verse 6. 4:16. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. You're not going to get much out of this lesson tonight from verse 6 in chapter 4. So verse 16. So let me start at verse 15. It says, then Esther told Mordecai, Esther told them to give this answer to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Fast for me. I'm saying it again. Fast for me. and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast as you do. Okay, so she's saying we're going to fast, but at the same time, focus in on us during your fast. Fast for us. How do you fast for somebody else? You enter into it believing that God's promises are going to come about for that person's life as you present your body as a living sacrifice for them. It's just like praying for somebody else. You're interceding. So you enter into that fast with the objective of seeing the results for somebody else in their lives. And in their life. Okay. So she said, fast for me, because I got to go before the king, and this could be life or death for me. So I want the courage and the strength to be able to go before the king and stand before him unannounced. And that's what she was talking about. And so Mordecai did with that, what she said to do. They fasted for her. She went before the king. She found favor. And the people of God were saved from the decree of death. All because she fasted, or they fasted for her, as she fasted as well. Okay, so, and that's Esther 4:16, 15 and 16, really. So those are all, that's what I want to share with you tonight. Hopefully this has been helpful. It can begin to serve as a guide. I want to try to be more practical now, and as we move towards our solemn assembly, I'm going to be a little bit more practical in the things that I share, so that you can be prepared. We're going to talk about types of fasting and things of that nature, to get us more focused on things that we can actually do for that 24-hour period beginning April 2nd. So we're going to get into those things, okay? All right. Any questions or thoughts before we close out in prayer tonight, before we're going to ask whoever feels led to. I'm not going to call anybody out tonight. Whoever feels led to, you can close us out in prayer. But before you do that, we'll give you a few moments to gather your spirit. Anybody have thoughts about or questions about anything I said tonight? All right. Well, hearing that there's none, it is after the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to ask somebody to close us out in prayer. Come on, believers.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you for this evening, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this message, oh, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for teaching us, oh, Heavenly Father, about fasting, oh, Heavenly Father. We thank you for our pastor, oh, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for you delivering knowledge and understanding of him, oh, Heavenly Father, and if he passed it on to us, oh, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this prayer line, oh, Heavenly Father, for it has been a year, oh, Heavenly Father, that we've been together physically, oh, Heavenly Father. But Heavenly Father, you have grown stronger and greater, Heavenly Father. Greater and stronger, Heavenly Father. Our word has spread from one street in Detroit, Heavenly Father, to throughout the nation, Heavenly Father, and throughout the world, Heavenly Father. And we praise you and thank you, Heavenly Father, for this, yes, Father, for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, even to learn more, Heavenly Father, through this season. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless you.